Maggie wedged the basket of eggs on her hip as she wrestled the barn door closed. Bustling past her, Toby gave a woof of pleasure as he spotted a familiar figure, and she turned to see her father across the farmyard. His walking sticks rested against the dry stone wall, and he was hanging onto the rickety gate to keep himself upright as he gazed longingly across the valley. Maggie's sigh blended exasperation with admiration. Albert Oldroyd could barely walk, barely speak, and still he insisted on dragging himself outside every day despite being told that he couldn't manage on his own. And they called her stubborn and proud. "You're right, chip off to block," Joe had commented once. It was one of the nicest things he had ever said to her. It was a bright day but cool for early July, and Maggie was glad of the shawl she had thrown around her shoulders earlier as she followed Toby across the farmyard. He was a bristly, long-legged terrier, not the prettiest of dogs, but with bright eyes, a cold black nose, and a sweet nature that more than made up for his lack of looks. A brisk wind was shoving great clouds across the Yorkshire sky, sending shadows sweeping over the fells on the far side of the valley and dazzling with sudden bursts of sunlight. It snatched at her carelessly pinned up hair, and she swiped the strands away from her face with the back of her wrist. Toby frisked around her father, nearly unbalancing him before Maggie called him sharply, and he nosed instead under the gate onto the track. Hemmed in by two mossy stone walls and overhung in places by oaks, elderflower bushes and dog roses, the track led down to the lane into the village, a quagmire of mud in winter. It was lush now with feathery summer grass, and Toby snuffled happily among the buttercups. Maggie balanced the basket of eggs on the gatepost so that she could take her father's arm. "You shouldn't be out here, Pa," she said, knowing that she was wasting her breath. "You'll get cold." Albert's eyes were fixed on the fell opposite. She followed his gaze across Beckingdale, a huddle of grey stone houses in the curve of the beck, to rest on the long, low farmhouse settled into the fold of the hillside beyond. High Moor.
"Wish go home."
Albert's words were forced out with agonising effort, and so slurred that only Maggie could understand him, and her heart clenched in sympathy.
"I know," she said, her throat aching. "I'd like to go home too, Pa, but we can't. The banker sold Highmore to pay off our debts, remember?"
Now strangers owned the great iron key that sat, never used, in the front door of the farmhouse that had been built by her grandfather's grandfather. Strangers would be learning about the stair that creaked and the way the sunlight spilt onto the landing on summer mornings. They would stand at the parlour window and watch the rain racing across the fells, skimming over the long lines of the dry stone walls and sweeping up and over the tops. They could step into the early morning dew and listen to the skylarks soaring over the heather and the distant bleating of the sheep dotting the hillsides, far from the squash and squabble of village life. A tear squeezed out of the corner of her father's eye.
"Sorry,"
he managed.
"It's all right, Pa," said Maggie gently. "Not right."
The gate to the farmyard hung drunkenly from the post. The wood was rotten, the iron hinges rusting, the broken sneck held in place with frayed binder twine. When her father's grip on it shook in frustration, the whole gate lurched forwards and Maggie only just managed to haul him back before he fell.
"Pa, be careful! You know what this gate is like!"
She had tried asking Joe to fix the gate once, when she had been a new wife, and had thought she could change things at Emmerdale Farm. Joe had soon put her right about that. Maggie sighed, remembering. She knew that the state of the farmyard must be distressing to her father, who had run a tight ship at Highmoor until his collapse. But they had had nowhere else to go. Emmerdale Farm had been their only option. Without meaning to, she glanced down to the right, where Miffield Hall stood half hidden in the trees. Once she had thought there might have been another choice, but she had soon been put right about that too.
"Ralph is not for you, Margaret." Lady Miffield could not have been clearer. She hadn't bothered to lower her voice as the congregation milled around outside the church,
most listening avidly to Maggie's humiliation at the hands of Ralph's stepmother.
The marriage wouldn't be successful. In the long run, you would be much happier with someone of your own class, and so would Ralph.
To hell with them!
White with fury, Ralph had come to find Maggie when he heard what his stepmother had done.
They can't stop us getting married. We'll go away tonight.
And go where?
Maggie had asked dully.
America, Australia, anywhere.
And Pa?
He's too ill to travel. Can't leave him, Ralph. Not now.